Well, good evening, everybody. Great to see you. Can I invite us all to turn back to Psalm 23? And as we do, my name is Nick, for those of you that I haven't met. I'm the student minister who looks like they're 12. And I can promise you that I'm at least 16. But if I haven't met you, I'd love to meet you after our service. Well, how about we turn back to Psalm 23? And as we do, how about we pray and ask for God to help us? And as we do, I'm going to read us some words from Mark chapter 6. Mark says, when Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep that didn't have a shepherd. And so we pray, our loving Father, as we think about this well-known and much-loved part of your word, we pray that you would teach us wonderful things about him, Jesus, our good shepherd. And we ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen. There is an old, sad, but beautiful story of a shepherd boy who lived in the highlands of Scotland. His parents died when he was young, so he was sent to live with his grandfather. And his grandfather was a shepherd, so he became a shepherd. And this boy couldn't read, so his grandfather taught him certain Bible verses by using actions on his hand. And when he taught him Psalm 23, using each finger on his hand, he taught him, "The Lord is my shepherd." One day, while that shepherd boy was out caring for his flock, a massive blizzard blew through, and he didn't come home. And so his grandfather had to wait until that storm passed till he could go out and find him. And when that storm passed, he left, he searched, and he found his grandson lying on the ground, frozen to death. And as that grandfather knelt down to pick up his grandson to take him home, he saw that his grandson had died whilst holding his fourth finger. And he knew, "The Lord is my shepherd." And I love that story because what that young shepherd boy grasped is one of the most beautiful things about Psalm 23, that it is the privilege of the Christian believer that they can say not just that God is a shepherd, but they can say the Lord is my shepherd. And Psalm 23 is a beautiful psalm. It's perhaps the most famous and most loved psalms, what Charles Spurgeon called the Pearl of Psalms. And it has been read at funerals. It's been shared by the hospital bed. It has been sung through tears to the tune of many hymns. It's been prayed by the deathbed. And it has been memorized and whispered throughout the darkest of nights. And yet Psalm 23 is not only for funerals, because Psalm 23 is a psalm about life. Life with God, our shepherd. Now, Psalm 23 is a psalm of David. He lived and he breathed this psalm, and it's very personal to David. I wonder if we notice that language used of I, me, my, and you. Because the God that David is talking about is not a God who's distant and far off, but the God who's close and personal. But whilst this is a psalm about David, this is ultimately a psalm that is about the God who is David's shepherd. Shepherd, of course, is a big word that runs throughout the Bible, and it means much more than someone that just hangs around sheep, because shepherd is a kingly word. We think of Moses, who was a shepherd, who led God's people. And then, of course, King David, a shepherd called to be the king to rule and shepherd God's people. And then there is God himself, who says, "I myself will come and shepherd my people," which of course we see most fully when God comes into the world in the person of Jesus and he stands up and he says to the world, I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep. So Psalm 23 is a psalm about David, but ultimately this is a psalm that not only the Lord Jesus prayed and lived himself, but it is a psalm about him. Jesus, our good shepherd, who shepherds us every day from the day we first trust him till the day where we meet him face to face. And Psalm 23 shows us what life is like when we belong to him. And when we do, well, we find that this psalm of David, becomes our psalm. And so what I want us to do tonight is see from Psalm 23 how our God shepherds and cares for us, and what it really means to say that the Lord is my shepherd. And because Psalm 23 is so well known, I thought I'd point out three things tonight that are maybe not the main things from Psalm 23, but I think three things that will help us see how God does shepherd us. So 3 points, and they go like this. Firstly, verses 1 to 3, I've called He Stands Before. 2, verse 4, He Stands Beside. And then third and last, He Stands Behind. Verses 5 and 6. So firstly, He Stands Before. Look with me at verse 1. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Just last month, I was on a train going through the north of England, and one day I looked out the window, that train window, and I saw these long green fields of lush grass. It was probably the greenest grass I've seen. And there in those fields were sheep, just plodding around, eating, drinking, with not a care in the world. And it was just completely serene. It was probably the one day the sun came out. And it was amazing. And that is very much the picture that we see in verse 2 and 3 of sheep that are in a field, but not on their own, but with a shepherd who leads them and provides for them. And as David paints this scene, he paints it with language from the Old Testament. And we may want to jot some of these references down, but you may recall that in Exodus 3, God said to his people that I am the capital L-O-R-D Lord, which in our English Bibles is code for God's covenant name, the name of Yahweh, L-O-R-D. Same as in verse 1. And just like how the people of God came out of the Exodus and said in Deuteronomy 2, we lack nothing, we have all that we need. Well, David says, verse 1, I have all I need. And just like how in Exodus 15, God led and guided his people to holy dwellings or holy pastures, well, David says, verse 2 and 3, he leads me. Now, why does David do this? Well, I think he does this because he's saying that what God did in saving his people from slavery in Egypt and leading them to life with him, that's exactly what he does for me. He goes before and he leads me into his salvation. So no wonder David says, verse 3, that he renews my life. He restores me. He makes me new. All for his name's sake, verse 3, for his reputation. And because of his salvation, well, David can say, verse 1, I have all I need. And maybe that's something that we'd find very hard to say, because there are just so many things that we wish that each of us had. And yet when, like David, we have this shepherd who goes before and leads and who saves, well, we can really say there is nothing else that we really need, because all we really need is him. And isn't that so true for Jesus, our perfect shepherd, who has gone before us? He's paid for all our failings, all our blunders. and alive, he calls to us, follow me. There's a man called James Rebanks, who has he wrote a book called The Shepherd's Life. He is one of the last old school shepherds out there, and he says that people often think that sheep are very dumb, often getting lost. They get caught in things. But he points out that there's particularly one way where sheep are very smart, and that is that the only voice that they will go to when called is their shepherd's voice. And Jesus says, I know my sheep by name. I call to them. They know me. They come to me. They follow me. And that's how he shepherds us. He stands before and he calls to us, and we follow him into his salvation. So first, he goes before. Second, he stands beside. David says, verse 4, even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, verse 4 is perhaps the most well-known verse in Psalm 23. It's where we get this phrase of the darkest valley, or as other translations call it, the valley of the shadow of death. It literally says, as I walk through death's shadow. Death's shadow. And when we think about it, death really is the darkest valley. And all other valleys or hardships are really the result of death's shadow in our world. Our old Anglican prayer book says that in the midst of life, we are in death. And because of death, a life is full of many valleys. And I don't need to say that to us tonight, because I think we all really know that. And because we all go through them, and that will be true for many of us here tonight. And I wonder what that might be for you. A disappointment, a discouragement, or a setback. It could be an illness or a fear, an addiction, a diagnosis, a loneliness, a struggle in a marriage, in a relationship, a struggle in singleness. Or it could be a loss. And even though so many of us are so young here tonight, many of us know that pain of the loss of a friend, the loss of a parent. We all go through valleys. And maybe you think no one else really knows, no one else really understands. But someone does, because David says, verse 4, even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. And I love that, because here David, he's no longer talking about the shepherd. Now in verse 4, he's talking to the shepherd, because he is beside him. Verse 4, you are with me. David Gibson says in his commentary on Psalm 23, he makes this point that those four words, you are with me, they really sum up the message of the whole Bible. And we can think of back in the garden at creation, where God was with his people. But then sin came in and separated us from God. And God promised that one day he would come to be with his people. And then, of course, there is Jesus, who comes into the world to be God with us. Jesus, who ascends and he says, behold, I'm with you always. Jesus, who sends his Spirit, that he might be with you every day. And Jesus, who promises to one day return to be with us forever. And when we think about it, those have to be some of the four of the most wonderful, most loveliest words that we could ever say to God. You are with me. And as he walks beside us, we'll see what's in his hand, end of verse 4. David says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This shepherd's rod, it's what the shepherd would use to beat off the wild wolves that came. And his staff is what he would use to bring back the wandering sheep. And as David goes through this valley, he says, God, your protection, your correction, well, they keep me safe. They bring me back. Because in the valley, we're never alone. We all go through valleys. And one day, unless Jesus returns first, we will all have to go through the dark valley of death ourselves. And I know that we can be quite young here tonight and think that will never be me. But one day we'll have to face it. And David can say, even in the darkest valley, when we have to face death, we can say, no, you are with me. And ultimately, no Christian need fear the valley of death, because, of course, it was the Lord Jesus who went through the darkest valley and who lived his whole life under the shadow, not just of death, but of a cross. Jesus, who faced the black hole of death for you and I, so that for you and I, death would just be a shadow. Jesus, who went through the grave into life, so that you and I might go through too. There was once a girl in Colombia who was on her way home from school, and as she was going home, she was given a Gideon's Bible, the Bibles that get put in hospitals and hotels. And she went home, she began to read it, and her father said to her, that's a total waste of time. He took it off her, and he put it in his top jacket pocket. And the next day, he went to work in one of the mines. He was a miner. And whilst he was in the mine that day, the whole mine collapsed, and he was one of 31 men. And it took the rescuers about a week to get in, and when they got into that mine, they saw that all 31 men had died. And as they were carrying out those bodies, and as they came to that father, they found the Bible in the top jacket pocket. And on the very last page, where there is outlined the steps of salvation to say that you've become a Christian, and there's a space there to write your name to say that you've put your faith in Jesus. Well, there on the last page were 31 names. And I love that, because there are 31 men who realized there is only one way safely through death, and that is only when Jesus is your shepherd. Jesus, who lays his life down for his sheep and who goes through death for you and I. Well, we all do go through valleys. And isn't it possible, dear friends, that maybe God might lead you and I through a valley, not only to guard us from something that's far worse, but ultimately so that we will learn that even in the valley, the darkest place, that he is there because he stands beside us. Well, that's point two. Now, third and last, he stands behind. Well, verse five, we leave the green grass and the valley and we come to a table. Now, I love a good feast around a table, and I don't know about you, but I actually prefer a home-cooked meal than going out to a five-star restaurant, which I might be very, I'm getting some weird looks, but for me, I much prefer that, because it's a wonderful thing to be hosted, for people to welcome you in their home, to cook for you, to feed you, to love you, and that is exactly what God does for David in verse 5. He serves him. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. David's head is anointed, verse 5, a sign of his host's kindness. And his cup overflows, verse 5, a picture of great generosity. And so kind is his God that David says, verse 6, only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life. And that's the key word in verse 6, the word pursue. Because David doesn't say goodness and love will follow me. No, they pursue me, they chase me, they run after me. It's funny that we do whatever we can in life to pursue goodness and love, but in verse 6, it is the goodness and love of God that pursues us. And we can somewhat think of goodness and faithful love like two sheepdogs who are chasing after us through a field. But actually, the picture is much more wonderful than that, because goodness and faithful love are not only attributes of God, but they are really God himself, the God who is perfectly good, whose ways, whose plans are good, and whose steadfast love is long and high, deep and wide and wonderful, who stands behind us and runs after us, pursuing us, and pursuing us all the way home. Verse 6, David says, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live," or perhaps better, as our footnote says, "forever." And that's how Psalm 23 moves. It starts in a field, goes through a valley, and it ends in eternity, at home. Simon and Garfunkel, whose names may mean absolutely zilch here, but Simon and Garfunkel were once an old folk band, and they wrote a song called Homeward Bound. And I love that song because that is exactly what every Christian is, homeward bound. Going home to a heavenly home. And when we're home, 1 second there with him, with Jesus, will make up for every valley that we've had to walk. No wonder Jesus says in John 10, "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them from my hand." And he will see us safely there as he stands behind, pursuing us every day with his goodness and love. What a thought that we can somewhat look over our shoulders every day and see him standing there, chasing, running after us with his goodness and love, seeing us home. Well, that's Psalm 23. And there is so much that we haven't touched on. And so it would be well worth, I think, I'd just love to encourage us to go home and to keep rereading Psalm 23, to meditate on it, and to not make it just a psalm for today, but a psalm for often, for every day. Because it is a psalm about life. Life with the God who shepherds us. But as we close, it's worth asking, is Psalm 23 true for my life? And can I say with that Scottish boy, "The Lord is my shepherd"? Or am I lost, trying to live life on my own, like I don't need him? Because it's one thing to say that that Jesus is a shepherd, but it's another thing to say he's my shepherd. He's my Lord. He's my King. He runs my life. And maybe there's some of us here tonight and we know that he is a shepherd. We know Jesus is Lord, but he's not yet my shepherd. He's not yet my Lord. Well, wouldn't it be wonderful tonight, January 18, 2026, if we finally made that step and we went home, we sat down, and in a way we said to him, "Lord Jesus, be my shepherd, be my Lord." And when we do, well, we will find that Jesus, he stands before us, risen and reigning, and he calls to us, "Follow me." And he stands behind us, pursuing us with his goodness and love. And even in the darkest valley, even the valley of death, he stands beside. Because when we are his, he is with us always. Can you say Psalm 23? Because when you belong to the Good Shepherd, you can. Well, how about we pray together? We praise and thank you, our loving Father, for the Lord Jesus who has come into the world to be our good shepherd. And we want to pray, please, would he be our shepherd? Would he be our Lord? And would we put our lives in his care? And would we walk with him every day until he leads us home. And we pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen.